But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have the inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What grace and peace from this parable? Actually, this is one of the sweetest. And I hope you're saying, what? It's one of the sweetest. Two ways. First is the purpose. Why did Jesus tell this parable? Why does he tell any parable? And the purpose of every bit of the preaching of Jesus is to take sinners who have wandered far from God and bring them on home. And he tells the parable about the chief priests and Pharisees. Why? Why does he tell the parable about the chief priests and Pharisees? Why does Jesus tell any parable? To take sinners who have wandered far from God and bring them home. That's the purpose, right? If that's the purpose, well, there is something in a much older lady by the name of Anita said to me one day, "Pastor, what we want you to do on a Sunday is we want you to preach us right down into hell and then preach us back up." That's not a bad saying, is it? Preach you right down to hell and then preach you back up. So this is what Jesus does. It's for those who think they are spiritually something. They figured they had kept the law of God and they had followed the commandments and they had been religious and they said their prayers, they tithed mint and dill and cumin and they gave alms. And yet their hearts were not set to receive the word of God. Of course, the word of God was preaching them right down into hell, wasn't it? The prophets sent, more prophets sent, the Son of God sent to call the chief priests and the Pharisees, to call them whitewashed tombs, looking good on the outside, but on the inside full of dead bones and uncleanness of every kind. And they didn't appreciate that preaching, would you? "Pastor, what we want you to do on a Sunday is preach us right down into hell and then preach us back up." Have you noticed that how people respond to the parables sometimes depends on who's listening? In this one, the hearers are so wrapped up in their works of righteousness, believing that they had good religious lives that they'd lived. And to them, there's only one possible outcome to the parable, and that is the judgment and destruction of God coming upon them. And if you figure like that, then the parable makes perfectly good sense as long as it's applied to someone else. And the chief priests and the scribes could have gone along with it if it had been applied to, those other ones over there. the common people or the collaborators with Rome or the Gentile nations, but Jesus came along and defended them by applying it to Israel. And it was obvious and it stung the ears of the hearers. It just plain couldn't be. It can't mean us. He did it, not me. And they plotted ways to seize him. Which brings us to our day, where the parable would make perfectly good sense as long as it was applied to someone else. It's those Democrats. It's those Republicans. It's the unreligious. It's the ones who have religion wrong. It's someone else. It's not me. Pastor, preach us right down into hell. Well, okay. Y'all are wicked tenants. Y'all are guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. Y'all have wandered off from God and deserve nothing but damnation. It's an easy target. All I have to do is do what Martin Luther said. He said, take your old Adam. Pastor, take your old Adam, march him into the church and sit him down in the front pew and tell what he's like. And if you preach against your own old sinful Adam, you'll hit everybody else too. The parable must apply to me. And I must know that I am a wicked tenant. I must know that if I am to have the effects of Jesus' teaching in my life. I have to have myself preached right down into hell in order to open up the parable. Because you see, the parable opens up after the sting of the parable and the sting of the law sits for a while. And after you see what happened after the parable, after Matthew 21, where Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem, that's Holy Week. And 4 days later, meeting with his disciples in the upper room, and then that night, in the middle of the night, kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane and being arrested and going to the cross. The actual ending of the parable is very strange indeed. The son of the owner, of course, is a picture of Jesus. And after he has been put to death, not simply by the chief priests and the Pharisees, not simply by the people of Israel, after he has been put to death by every human being that contributed the sins that he had to come and die for, then the ending of the parable has this surprise twist. Unlike where it leaves off in the text, it goes on. Because you see, the owner of the vineyard deliberately sent his son, knowing that there would be that death, because he had decided before the foundation of the world that that is what he would do in order to save the rebellious, evil human race and to wipe out the sin and make us his once again. I like to phrase it this way, the unthinkable sin of the tenants is answered with an unthinkable grace and mercy. The blood of Jesus is shed for the people who shed his blood. The death of Jesus undoes the death of those who killed him. And by telling this parable, what Jesus is doing is not closing off the kingdom of heaven. Instead, he is opening it up to the chief priests and the scribes. He is calling them to repent. And they will not repent that day. They may not repent for many, many days. But the word of God spoken to them works its way, worms its way down into the soul. And there is that verse in the book of Acts of how a great many of the chief priests, also of the Pharisees, were coming to faith. So, I am one of the wicked tenants. I claim my place there. And I do so because I know that Jesus, my God and my friend, came for sinners such as me. And suddenly, the parable turns around and is a preaching of this is the full measure of the grace of God. It is astounding. It is no wonder why the crowd in Athens laughed at Paul. This God he preached, this friend of ours, Jesus, is astounding. Reflecting on it later, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Oh, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because, well, you see, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And Jesus, well, he preached those chief priests and Pharisees right down into hell, so that coming for sinners such as them, he could win them back and he could preach them right up into heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for doing the same for me. Amen.